The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
And welcome to Radio Friends. This is Friday. It's July the 27th. We're almost at the end of the month. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Larry Brown, singer, storyteller, songwriter, is with us. And you're a perfect guest to go into the weekend. And here I thought you were going to sing a song.
Of Hot Topics or what?
Yeah, Hot Topic. I thought you were going to sing a song, but you've got a story to tell us.
It's a story. It's a story today.
And the name of the story?
Maybe it'll become a musical someday, but it's a story, right?
Okay, what's the name of it?
High Level Conference.
High Level Conference. Okay, so here is Larry Brown with a story, High Level Conference.
Martin Beheimer was a lay elder in a congregation that I served just out of Columbia back in the 1970s, Olivet Christian Church. Martin was a gatekeeper. He was someone who kept track of the community. He was always a welcoming presence into the church to get folks oriented and to keep me as pastor informed about everything going on in the community. In fact, Martin used to show up to give me advice and counsel, and I trusted often his advice and counsel in what he called a high-level conference. And kind of with a twinkle in his eye, he'd say high-level conference, and really what he meant was shooting the breeze. But oftentimes it was wisdom, it was sharing thoughts and feelings from the community and things I ought to know. Martin would show up in his old pickup, whether it was at the parsonage or at the church office, and bring in a little thermos full of coffee, and we'd have coffee and do the discussing we needed to do. Well, sometimes Martin would show up crack of dawn. Sometimes it would be late in the evening after meeting. But one morning he showed up at the church office, knocked on the door. I let him in. He said, I'm here for a high-level conference. I said, come in. He got out the coffee and we began to chat. And Martin began to tell me a story that I had told him. In fact, it was a story that I'd used in a sermon as an illustration a couple of years before. And I sat there and listened while Martin told me my story. And Martin said, you remember when you got your first guitar? I go, well, yes. He says, and what you told me was that you'd bought that old guitar back in, I think, 1962 from a cowboy for $6. I said, yeah, that's right. And he said, and it was an old guitar, and you told me how it was kind of beat up and had a broken tuning peg. You had to tune it with a pair of pliers. You had to go find a set of strings. And that summer you learned to play the guitar, but it was difficult, but that guitar was beautiful. And I said, Martin, that's exactly right. And he said, as you described it, it had beautiful wood inlay on the back, and it had a maple front, and it had a mahogany, a fingerboard. And he described this guitar in all the detail. And I'm going, right, Martin. Martin said, as I remember, you told us how you lost that guitar. I said, yeah, I did. And what had happened was I had moved on in life and college and elsewhere to other guitars and was singing in coffee houses and bought guitars that were more expensive and more important and had kept that old guitar, and someday I was going to restore it, I said. Well, it wound up being in the closet most of the time. And I was working in the inner city of Indianapolis in an apartment house that had a fire. And a friend of mine happened to show up at the time the fire department did and told them that I had valuable guitars. And a fireman went in and rescued two of my three guitars, but not the old guitar. When I arrived at the end of the day, the house had been saved, but there was a lot of water damage. And I went up and found that old guitar in the closet, and it was nothing but just a wet pile of splinters. So I carried it out to the dumpster and had to say goodbye to my first love. Well, Martin was telling me that story, and he was accurate in all these details. And Martin said, well, come with me. And we walked out of the church office into the fellowship hall, and there he pulled out of this big sack a guitar. Martin said, You know, when you told me that story a couple of years ago, I got to thinking, been thinking on it ever since, that there was an old guitar kind of like what you described that used to hang on the wall of my uncle's house, an old farmhouse, and I found out it was still around, and I wanted to give it to you. I know it's not your first guitar, your first love, but maybe it's a good substitute. And as I opened up and looked at that guitar, it was much like my first guitar. Who knows, 50, 75 years old, I turned it over and there was that beautiful wood inlay on the back and the front was a maple front. It had mother of pearl on the fingerboard and I'm looking at it and Martin says, "It's a gift. I just wanted you to have that." Oh, I took that as a treasure. Well, years went by and I'd moved away from Columbia for a while and heard later that Martin was dying of pancreatic cancer. I came up to Columbia to visit him. And I remember going in the bedroom, and Martin was very weak and feeble, and almost a whisper, he said, "We need another high-level conference." And I leaned over, and Martin said, "There's one thing I want to ask you." And I said, "Martin, whatever." Martin said, "Would you sing for my funeral?" I said, "Martin, whatever, just don't rush it." Well, little did I know that it was really a matter of a few days later that Martin died, and indeed I did sing at his funeral. Well, I still have that old guitar. In fact, if you'd visit my home now, you'd see it's hanging on the wall of the living room with the back out so you can see that beautiful scrolled wood inlay on the back of that guitar. And I need to tell you, there's not a day doesn't go by I cross the living room and I see that old guitar and I will remember high-level conference.
Oh, that's a beautiful story, Larry. That's a beautiful story, and obviously that is a true story.
Every bit of that is true as I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So many of the stories that you share or my father used to share, they come from the heart.
That's what storytelling is about.
If people would like to hear more of your storytelling or your songs or your songwriting, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact me at brownstory@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Take a look at my website, www.brownstory.com. And there's information about places I've been, places I'll be going to, yeah. And what
I can do. And you have CDs, and you have a DVD out also.
Yes, I do.
Telling stories.
Exactly.
Okay. So this is July 27. Anything coming up that people can see you in this area anytime soon?
It's going to be a while yet. I will be in Kansas City later in the fall doing a festival. When we get to September, October, November, that's generally my busiest time, and I will be at libraries and schools and all around the area.
So can we get you back before September, October, or November?
Well, you certainly may.
All right. Larry Brown, singer, songwriter, storyteller. Always a pleasure to have you here and all around. Nice guy, too.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Good to have you, Larry.
Thanks.
And have a good weekend and be careful driving. Our program, let's see, Monday, pet health tips and volunteers with the City of Columbia. That's our topic. Our program directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers from KBIA. Our floor director is Danny Madison and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. And we would love for you to watch this program or listen to it again by going to kbia.org, click on talk shows, then click on Radio Friends, and you can watch it and get a podcast. Bye-bye.